Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up a culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yeah, as this warm, very warm summer continues on. Waterless summer, too. We need some rain.
The last few years have been that way. It was heavy on the rain in the spring and then really dry by mid to end of summer.
But there's one benefit to a terribly dry spring and summer. Hardly any mosquitoes.
Well, in the spring, now they're bad.
Well, they haven't been in my neighborhood.
We have a swamp in our backyard. They descend. Well, the second you step out the door, it's like they just descend from anywhere. It's crazy.
That's what swamps are for, mosquito breeding.
So, I have questions for the Lord. Like, why ticks? Why mosquitoes? And why mosquitoes? Those are my questions.
Those are good questions for someday in the future. So, when there is no future left, it's all eternity.
Amen.
So, yes.
I look forward to those questions.
Well, okay. Hey, I've got some real sad news, and it's Dr. Haywood Robinson, a very, very good friend, colleague, leader, pro-life national, international leader, passed away last weekend, actually. And in his sleep, I believe, heart failure, born in 1952, so what, about 74? Years old, and you many who might be listening may remember that we had him as a keynote speaker just a couple years ago.
Yes.
At our life banquet, and the year prior to that, he came and did our kickoff for our 40 Days for Life fall campaign, and so forth. And he's Dr. Haywood Robinson, big long history in his life, but. He started out, he and his wife got married. This is Dr. Noreen Johnson. She never took his last name. They got married. They both became abortionists. And in 1986, he and his wife Noreen both stopped committing abortions, came to Christ and became pro-life. Now Dr. Noreen passed away in 2021, and then Haywood remarried, I believe, in 2020, either 2022 or 2023. He's one of the original founding members of 40 Days for Life. He's been on their board of directors since the very first days. About 9, maybe 10 years ago, he became their national medical director. Or actually, Director of Medical Affairs and Education. There we go, for 40 Days for Life, and I've had so many interactions with Haywood over the years. A man of God, definitely, a gentleman, and soft spoken, and yet a man with deep conviction. And spoke very, very eloquently against the killing of the unborn throughout his career, and just a good man. It was very, very sad to have heard that this happened very, very suddenly. No pre-knowledge of there being health issues, but
that's always so tough.
Yeah. Good man, and. So I think I'll probably be at the funeral and things like that coming up here. 40 Days for Life put together a video tribute to him. It's very good. Mm. And so if you'd like to see that, you can just go to the 40 Days for Life website, or if you are receiving our Sunday updates, there will be a link to it in this Sunday update. So,
perfect. Maybe we should quick say a prayer for him before we move on. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and may your perpetual light shine upon him. May the souls of the faithful who have departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. Other big news, Paul Vaughn, and we had him as our banquet speaker just this past year. Paul Vaughn, this is the man that was found guilty under for violating the FACE Act. Actually, it was more about it. He was prosecuted under the FACE Act, but it was the conspiracy side that had been added during the Biden administration that had never been done before. This is the old Ku Klux Klan Act from the 1800s that was used against these pro-lifers who they claimed had violated the FACE Act. Some had. He never really did. And so he ended up being prosecuted. He was found guilty. He was in this father of 11 was given this long prison sentence, and it was being held because he had not actually violated FACE. I think what they had done is they put him on some sort of house thing and so forth. But anyhow, he was pardoned by Trump, and now he sued the Department of Justice over the whole thing. You know, they show up in their tactical gear with their rifles, machine guns, whatever they're carrying at his home, scaring everybody.
Yeah.
This very peaceful man, sidewalk counselor, pro-lifer, great guy.
Dad. And, I mean,
dad of a lot of kids, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, young children in the house when this all happened and everything. So they sued. Well, the Department of Justice has settled the lawsuit in his favor.
Praise the Lord. They should have.
And so Thomas More Society defended him both against the charges as well as bringing this case against the federal government. So we're really happy with that. And by the way, he came into the Catholic Church this past Easter.
Oh, yay. Oh, my gosh.
So
praise the Lord.
I had this amazing conversation with him after our banquet where he was talking about being on his way. And so that was fun, and then to see that he made it, so very cool thing with regard to Paul. But good settlement right there, so we're happy with that. And then also big news this week is Dr. Anthony Fauci having to testify before the U.S. Senate committee over his bad behavior during the COVID-19, questioning the origins of the whole COVID-19 virus, and everything else. And I watched some of this, Angela. It was fascinating. He's sitting at the table, and there's a certain protocol. There are rules the Senate committees have. Only the people who are testifying are supposed to sit at the table. He brings his one of his half a dozen attorneys he's got him. He brings to sit next to him at the table. And the Senate committee chair is saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, you're not supposed to be at this table. Only those testifying are supposed to be at the table. He says, but, you know, if you stay quiet, which you're required to do, only those testifying are allowed to talk. If you stay quiet, you can sit there. And then the guy would not shut up. The attorney for Fauci just kept interrupting. I think at that point it was Rand Paul who was bringing questions forward. And they ended up having they warned him 5 or 6 times that if he didn't stop talking, he was going to be removed from the room. And he kept doing it. So they took him from the room. Fauci still had plenty of attorney representation. And the big thing, of course, is that Fauci pled the Fifth Amendment. In other words, would not answer any questions throughout the entire questioning period. Now, he was also warned, because this has also been adjudicated all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, that if somebody's been pardoned and they cannot be criminally held liable for their behavior because they've been pardoned, it isn't a question whether they violated law or not. The question is, they can't be prosecuted because they've been pardoned. Then they're required. The U.S. Supreme Court said you can't hide behind the shield of the Fifth Amendment. And yet Dr. Fauci did the entire thing.
Well, didn't he plead the Fifth over 100 times in that hearing? Well,
with every question. I don't know how many. Yeah,
it was 111 times or something crazy. Yeah.
Well, that's not okay. The number of times isn't the crazy part. The crazy part is he just kept pleading it when, unless there are other things that he might be incriminated for, that are unrelated to the pardon, he has no Fifth Amendment privilege anymore because of the pardon. Because of the pardon. Now, I've pled the Fifth Amendment on the witness stand before in a case, and I, what you do is, under your attorney's advice, you just plead the Fifth Amendment with every single question that's asked, regardless of what the question is, so that you don't make a mistake. Because once you start answering questions, you're in essence giving up your Fifth Amendment privilege. Okay, so the real question is what is in there that he's not been pardoned for? You know, I don't think that he now is being shielded by using the Fifth Amendment for. That's a big question. Now, here's one of the things that came into this, and this is why we're talking about it on a pro-life show, is that he was involved in a study that grafted 5-month aborted baby scalps onto lab rats. Remember that one?
Yes. Oh, I do. Yes, I remember that.
He was involved, but it's come out now that he was involved.
He played a part, whether it was
while he was at the National Health Institutes for Health or whatever the department was he was leading. National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIH. And he either gave it the go ahead, or he granted the funding for it, or something more, but he knew about it because it's actually in his diary.
I just feel like I remember seeing those images and they were seared into my brain. Yeah. And even my mother-in-law said something to me this week. I mean, she was just horrified. And I remember that. But I didn't realize Fauci was behind that. But is it surprising? Very weird individual. It's not healthy. Sick in the head.
Well, and then, this is a slightly off topic, but, you know, because of his policies that he recommended to the entire United States, especially the governors across the United States, we had situations where, and of course, our governor went beyond in following these recommendations as if they were orders, and then ordered that we couldn't do things in the state of Minnesota during the COVID thing. Now, there's a lot of fear out there, no doubt about it.
Yep.
But I had three close friends who passed away, who I'm close friends with the entire families, and could not go to their funerals.
Mm-hmm.
While Fauci is all going off and having parties and doing all these other things. So that whole mess out there. So,
well, same with Gavin Newsom and everything.
Well, and our governor here.
And our governor as well. Here. Yep.
Many of them. So. This trial we have talked about for the last couple of weeks quite a bit out in California, where the California Attorney General decided to go after Heartbeat International and Real Options Pregnancy Center chain in California for a claim. I'll clearly say a false claim of consumer fraud because they have promoted the idea of abortion pill reversal. Well, we're in 3 weeks of the trial now. Isn't that crazy? It continues. And a whole lot of this is from the defense showing there's no problem with what they're saying and doing. There's really good results. There's been no negative results, things like that. So it's very interesting that this is going on and on this long. So continue to keep that in prayer as that trial continues to go forward. A U.S. district court judge who's working out of Virginia. So this is U.S. district court, not a Virginia judge, but a U.S. judge, has ruled that the REMS, as they're called, these are the FDA, Food and Drug Administration's safety requirements related to the abortion pill, mifepristone, that the changes that were made in 2023 under the Biden administration failed to explain why those changes were necessary and is calling the rules arbitrary and capricious and is calling for the FDA to go back and review these properly. So again, there's a whole nother one. Unfortunately, did not approve an injunction against them as they are and require us to go back to the pre 2023 REMS. But another one has come out like that. And again, it's amazing how regular that's becoming a case in the federal courts at this point in time. Now, we've talked about when it comes to the Food and Drug Administration and these REMS and the lack of safety protocols for the abortion pill and how it's become a free-for-all and so forth. And we've talked about all these Congress people who have come forward, who have either put forward with regard to some of the federal law cases that are going forward right now. They've put forward amicus briefs on behalf of the pro-life view that these regulations need to be corrected and brought back to something where at least safety for the women is there, even though there's no safety for the babies being killed. Always keep that in mind when we're talking about this. We're not saying it's good that this exists, but it's better than the free-for-all. And so, well, now 259 pro-abortion members of Congress are now urging the court to keep the lax rules in place and allow the drug to continue to be mailed free for all, regardless of how harmful this is to women. And of course, these are the people who keep saying that the mantra coming from the abortion movement, from these politicians, is they're there for the sake of women. And yet, this is clearly not for the sake of women. So,
Yeah, 100%.
New study out there, peer-reviewed study, is showing, it just published July 20th, that they are now in at least three different locations detecting significant levels of what are called antiprogesterone activity, which is what they believe is coming from the drug mifepristone, the abortion pill. It's in environmental water, including and municipal tap water samples. The three cities that they hit were Austin, Texas, Blacksburg, Virginia, and Carbondale, Illinois.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they got a spread there.
Yeah, so now they're showing from these three samplings. Now, this isn't just pro-life people saying this anymore.
We've been saying it for a long time, by the way. Remember the studies on, I can't remember where it was, but that the frogs were starting to change and they were developing female reproductive organs, even the males were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everyone thought we were crazy when we were pointing that out. Clearly there's something going on here.
Well, this was actually this study. It's called Antiprogesterone in Environmental Water. That's the title of it. Appeared in Issues of Law and Medicine, which is a well-reviewed, well thought of journal in the public. So now it's getting some real traction looking at this terrible stuff that's going on with the abortion pill. A federal judge temporarily blocked South Dakota's law that prohibits abortion advertising. This is a case where, and we talked about the case at its very beginnings. There's this organization called Mayday Health, came into existence just for the purpose of doing mail order abortions. And they started advertising in South Dakota, and South Dakota already had laws that prohibited this type of thing. And then they rewrote the law to make it clear so that it would pass constitutional muster. But this judge is saying that that law banning this abortion advertising may not be constitutional. So he gave a preliminary injunction and so forth with regard to it. So this horrible Mayday Health organization can continue to do harm to babies and to women in South Dakota where it's illegal to do all this. Now, the basic claim is free speech. Shouldn't they be allowed to advertise whatever they want to advertise? Is almost the basic question that's out there. And the answer to that is no. And the reason the answer is no is that the First Amendment privilege of, or right to free speech and freedom of the press, which these both kind of come under, still has some limits to it. And yes. the primary overriding limit is health and safety. You can't advertise something or go, you know, it's the old saying, you can't stand in a crowded theater and yell fire when there's no fire, right? Because the stampede of people could end up people being hurt, maimed, maybe even killed. And it's so that's a safety issue. You can't, and if you just do some simple logical thinking here, you know, you can't advertise that we'll murder your children or we'll murder your parents or we'll murder anybody for you. Just, you know, go online and pay for it. You know, that would be illegal to do. And the First Amendment does not protect that type of speech.
Right.
So that's where this one really comes into, because what's happening here is this judge is not recognizing the humanity of the unborn child when making this claim and allowing for this at this point in time. Now, the South Dakota Attorney General is fighting back. I think he's currently running for Congress or something, but he certainly is fighting back on this and so forth. And we'll see how well this turns out, but we'll keep you abreast as we learn more as it goes along. The United States Department of Justice has just released a memo directing the executive branch to expand religious liberty protections in areas of parental rights and religious autonomy. Very, very good clarifying of where we're at. So the government may not interfere with parental rights to direct the religious upbringing of their children. They cannot condition access to public benefits and educational opportunities upon parents' willingness to surrender their religious freedom. Federal agencies may not intervene with religious organizations' decisions on doctrine, leadership, ministry qualifications, membership, or internal discipline. Religious employers, including churches, ministries, schools, and other religious organizations, may hire and retain employees whose beliefs and conduct are in line with their religious mission and values, and so forth. So some very good stuff. And it's good to have those clarifications at the federal level.
Well, I mean, yeah, more than ever, right? When we have Christian couples, for example, trying to adopt or whatever, or states saying that if you don't affirm your child's quote unquote chosen gender, then you're abusive and we'll take your kids. I mean, it's just this, it's crazy that this is necessary, but it is. And I'm glad that it was done.
Right, right. Not surprising at all, but Planned Parenthood Federation of America has now sued the Trump administration after the announcement that Planned Parenthood and other abortion organizations would not be receiving Title X grants. So they're suing to get their Title X, what they think is their entitlement to Title X grants back for their very evil organization. So we're glad they can't get them, and we pray that the judges and the courts do the right thing with regard to that. This coming November, there are going to be several states that will have, again, these constitutional amendments before their state constitution placed before the voters to vote on. Virginia, now their so-called reproductive freedom amendment has been put together and is now in place, and it will be added to their state bill of rights if approved by the voters. So that's a big deal. I think there's a couple other states, I'm trying to think of every state that has them. I know in Missouri, there's an effort to overturn the amendment that got passed 2 years ago, or almost 2 years ago. And so we'll see what happens with all of these. Of course, we will follow these and stay on top as much as we can.
Right.
You know, the past 6, 8, 10, 9, 12 months, whatever, we've talked a lot about what's happening in the UK, in Britain, and Scotland, and so forth, Northern Ireland, because they have put these 150-foot bans around abortion facilities or hospitals that commit abortions, and even silent prayer. People have been arrested for standing there with no signs, sometimes with a sign, but almost always no sign that says anything about abortion on it, and simply they're praying. And they've been arrested. Some have been convicted for it. We've seen this over and over again. Well, now there are pro-abortion people that are starting to speak against these buffer zones.
Really?
Because they're starting to recognize. I like it when the brain finally kicks in on somebody that's been thinking wrong. You know, because, again, it's important to think clearly on such fundamental issues.
Yep.
And sometimes we don't too. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I don't think clearly.
Oh yeah.
Have to take a deep think, but it's good to see. It's good to see that they're starting to do that.
So what is it? What is it that's sort of finally registering? Like, oh, if this is happening here, then the tables could be turned and used against us when we want to protest the things that we don't like. Is that exactly. Essentially? Oh, good.
That's essentially
so they are realizing how that works.
Right. It's the it's like, you know, sometimes even from the political right here in the United States, something is proposed to be done that sounds like it'd be really great to have it happen. I'll tell you, stop and think, and wait a minute. As soon as you do it, when the left comes in power, they can do this. They can do it in reverse.
Yes.
You just gave them, you granted it to them. So it's like, or there's the unintended consequence thing out there too. Mm-hmm. So,
you have to extrapolate. You have to look at the bigger picture and not be so fixated. You don't want to lose the forest for the trees, right? Like there are implications when these things are enacted. Yep.
Well, and then just on the opposite side of things, in Madrid, Spain, the assembly has now approved a law requiring that family benefits be granted for children, including those who are not yet born. Making the Spanish capital the first region in the country to broaden government benefits to families from the beginning of pregnancy. The new law allows the family to qualify for grants and school meals and can help with verified pregnancies, can get applied to eligibility requirements, and they can get all sorts of help and aid for the unborn child and for all the doctor's visits and stuff like
prenatal
that.
Prenatal care, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Prenatal care, all that stuff.
But I thought they should be excited about this, right? Because like us, quote unquote, pro-birthers, we only care about birth, and we don't actually, I've been reliably informed that we don't care about the women while they're pregnant. And if we really cared, then we would make sure that that women were able to get the necessary prenatal care. I mean, that's what I've been reliably told. I mean, Ryan, have you ever heard that?
Oh, I've been called pro-birther also.
Or that like the guy should be forced to provide child support. I mean, I agree. Let's do that.
Me too. There's lots of things I agree that they so keep throwing funny. At us.
Yes, I know. It's like, we have common ground here. But every time their toes are put to the fire, they get upset about it. Like, they actually did the thing we said that they wouldn't do, and now we're upset about it. Like,
right, and the pro-abortion people in Spain are very upset about this.
Of course they are. Yes, of course they are.
Yeah, so it's like you're right. There's just this insanity with that.
Sin makes us stupid.
Yeah, I know.
All of us. This isn't just like them. I mean, me too. But like we're saying, I mean. It's great. It's silly. It's beyond.
Of course, my favorite is when a man is telling me that men have no right to say anything about this.
Of course not.
That's all the time we have. Thank you and God bless you.